I'm going to share a word with you that is both rewarding and tiring. And that word is again. Sandy and I swing our granddaughter Junia in a blanket. I don't know how that started. I blame Sandy. And so we swing her. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm older than I was like last year. And it doesn't take long, and Papa's tired. And Junia says, again, again, again. That's her favorite word, again. If you had the ability to say again, and you could go back and relive a moment of your life, what would you go back and relive? What would you want to do again? Maybe it was a trip you took. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was there was a party and you were together with good friends. What would you want to relive? And then in the opposite end of the room where we share our memories would be this box of stuff that you wish you could do again because you'd do it differently. You know what I mean? Maybe it was a conversation you had with somebody and you said things you now regret. Would you like, you'd say, boy, I wish I had that to do over again and I would do that differently. Maybe it was an email you sent. And you could say, if I had to do it over again, I would not send that email. I understand that. A number of years ago, I was talking about an individual, and they said, well, why isn't he a part of this team anymore? It's because, well, he said, because you kicked him off. And I said, I did? Yeah, you sent him an email. No, I didn't. I went back and looked, and I had sent an email. And I called him immediately. I said, can you ever forgive me? I can't believe I would send that. I was oh man, if I had it to do over again, I would not send that email. It's like, what was I thinking? Well, obviously I wasn't. Do you have emails like that that you wish you could have back and you could do it over again? Conversations that you could do over again? Arguments that you've had? It's like, okay, so I took that one a little bit too far. Me too. Things you'd like to be able to do again. And that's one of the pains of life is going through life carrying the weight of all those things that we've done that we like, I wish there was a way that I could erase that and do that over again. And the question that comes back to our minds is there any hope? Is there any way to have peace again? And that's what we're taking a look at this morning in John chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want anybody to know that he was talking to Jesus. And so he came at night. Came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he was old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You were Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. As we read that passage, we can tell that there was a lot of miscommunication going on in that passage. Nicodemus was not picking up what Jesus was putting down. He was talking, and Nicodemus, it was going over his head, it was going around him, but it wasn't sticking. Now, is that because Jesus was a poor communicator? No. What Jesus was doing is Jesus was starting at the definition, our destination. Jesus was starting here, and he knew that Nicodemus was here, and he's trying to walk Nicodemus to this point. It's like, let's say you wanted to go to the little burg. Have you ever heard of Southwest? It's a little tiny place. Well, how do you get to Southwest? Well, you take a trip and you go to Hastings. And everybody knows where Hastings is, right? At 425 and 1050. And then you go from Hastings to Gravelton over on 1350. And then you go from Gravelton to that big city of 4 Acre. And then you go a little bit north and a little bit west, and you get to Southwest. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's working through this process. He starts at the destination and starts taking Nicodemus step by step into this process. So how do you get there? You take a leap. You have to take a leap. And there are several leaps that we're going to take a look at this morning. First one says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. The first leap is from the physical to the spiritual. From the physical to the spiritual. Jesus is talking about a reality Nicodemus knows nothing about. Jesus has always existed. Not in bodily form, but Jesus has always existed. He knows the world. He created the world. He knows its complexities and intricacies. He knows the complexities. And that word I wrote down, I can't pronounce right now. I'm sorry. You know, I think that God has a sense of humor. I feel like God says, here's this guy who can't talk. What should we do with him? And the angels suggest all these things. And God says, no, let's make him a pastor. Jesus knows all the ins and outs of this world. He created everything. Jesus knows it in and out. And so he's talking about all of this. And Nicodemus doesn't get any of it. He doesn't. Jesus knows all the spiritual forces around him by name. And Nicodemus doesn't even know that they exist. It's kind of like explaining the solar system to an ant. There's no way to explain to an ant the solar system. It's so far beyond his frame of reference. So this is what Jesus tries. Notice how Jesus is helping Nicodemus in this section. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So how do you take this leap? Use what you know. Have you ever heard the wind? Yeah, we've heard the wind. You use that to explain what they don't know. And the spiritual impact, the Holy Spirit's impact on the world. Like, you hear this the sound of the wind, but you don't know where it's going and what it's doing. And sometimes you hear the Spirit. You hear about what the Spirit is doing. You don't understand how things are happening, but you know God's Spirit is at work. You kind of hear it happening. That's how spiritual things work. I mean, one example is that God has revealed himself as our heavenly Father. Is God our physical father? No, but he's kind of like a father. And those of us who have good fathers, we can say, oh yeah, I kind of get it because he takes care of us and he meets our needs. God's kind of like a father. And so that's an example of what Jesus is doing here by talking about wind. Why does he do that? So you learn to listen. So that we learn to listen. Like, listen for the wind. Listen. Try to perceive what God is doing. What's God doing in this situation? Have you been in the middle of a situation? You go, I wonder what God's doing. Wow, did you see how that happened? I wonder how God did that. And it causes us to look for the Spirit moving behind the things that we see physically. How is the Spirit working? There's a man named Victor Marx. And as a child, he was abused in ways you cannot imagine. And I haven't heard all of his story, but the things I've heard are like unbelievable. And he was driving from one place to another, going through the town where he grew up. And he drove past the house where he used to live. And as he drove by, he heard God say, stop there. He's like, Lord, I don't want to stop there. He said, all those bad things happened there. He said, I want you to stop there. So he stopped and he turned around and he went back. He got back there and he knocked on the door. And this lady came to the door. And he said, ma'am, he said, I know this may sound weird, but I used to live here. I lived here as a child. And she said, oh, yeah, we bought this from his grandmother that raised him. And we bought this from them. And he said, what did you do with all the stuff? He said, we just threw all that stuff away. He said, but she said, bad things happened here, right? And Victor said, oh yeah, lots of bad things happened here. And she said, that's what we heard. And then he said, stay right here. I have something I want to show you. And she goes in the back room and she comes out with a family picture. She said, when we bought this house, we found this family picture. And we have been praying for everyone in this picture for the last 30 years. How are you doing? And in that 30 years, from one difficulty to another, to finally finding faith in Jesus. He saw all the things that were happening in his life, and he realized in that moment the reason God wanted him to stop there is to find out the reason. It was because this lady was praying for 30 years for someone she'd never met. And God worked. You hear the wind. You don't know exactly what it's doing. That's what it did in his case. That's just one. God wants to do that over and over and over again. That's how God works in our lives. But in order to see something, there's more that we need to do. Jesus goes on, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless, what? Unless he is born again. There is an unseen kingdom around us. In 2 Kings 6, Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, and he saw the horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So, we can be like them and see and tap into that kingdom. How do we do that? Well, there's a second leap we need to take from being born to born again. From being born to born again. We've all been born, right? But we need to be born again. That's what Jesus said. But before we talk about being born again, I think it's helpful if we talk about and we remember the changes that happened when we were born. Your body begins to function in a completely different way when you're born. Before you're born, you have eyes and you have lungs, right? But when after you're born, your lungs begin to function in different ways. You can open your eyes and you can actually see after you were born. Every system in your body is transformed when you're born. Your circulatory system, your breathing, your muscles, seeing, feeling, thinking, and rapid growth that happens after we're born. So with that in mind, as we think about being born, then Jesus says you need to be born again. So that kind of transformation is happening again in us. Well, how does that happen? Jesus tells us. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's being born. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. The Spirit does the work. God's Holy Spirit does that work in us. Being born again is the work of God's Spirit. It's not a self-help skill. It's not reading this book, this is how I help myself. No, it's not something we do to ourselves. It's something God does in us. Being born again is saying, God, I need you to give me a new life because I've messed this one up. I want to be born again. And there's another aspect of being born again that Jesus mentioned. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Jesus is helping Nicodemus to believe, but he doesn't get it. You see, the Spirit does the work when we believe. That's why Jesus is trying to help Nicodemus believe. He wants the Spirit to do that work in here. You must believe. You must have faith. That is the leap that we need to take. But here's the benefit of that. So that you can live a new life. That you can live a new life. Wouldn't it be great to say, that life is gone. That life is over, and now I have a brand new life. It's just like every system in our body is transformed, our circulatory system, our breathing, etc. Being born again is just like that, only different. Your body begins to fully function according to its spiritual design. You had eyes before, and you could physically see, but now you can spiritually see, and you have the sense as you're walking through a group of people that that person right there needs prayer. And you say, can I pray for you? Why? Because you have different eyes. You see different things. You say things that are way beyond your level of intelligence. You have thoughts that are beyond what you naturally come up with. Why? Because you've been born again and God's Spirit is working in you. It's a completely different life. Years ago, I was doing a video of a man who had come to faith in Jesus, and he was talking about how his life had changed, and we were going from that interview to interview someone else, and he was in the car with us, and we're driving through Michigan City, and he said, I had a dealer there, and I had a girl that lived there, and a girl that lived there, and I had a dealer that lived there as we're driving through there. And he used to be a drug dealer and a pimp. And Jesus got a hold of his life. And he was completely changed. Completely changed. You may wonder, well, how did that happen? How does a guy like that get saved? There was a crazy man that lived in Michigan City. His name was Roderick Hoffman. Some of you may remember him. He spoke here about 12 years ago. He's since passed away. But Roderick Hoffman heard that this guy he was in a coma because of an overdose of drugs. And so Roderick went to the hospital and sat in his hospital room praying for him and reading scripture over him for three days. Who does that? I told you he was crazy. And he prayed for him. And he got saved. He came to faith in Jesus. And Jesus gave him a brand new life. And it was, we were driving through town, it was like that was his old life, that when he used to do that. And God got a hold of him. And he had a brand new life. Jesus goes on in this passage, and he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. When you read that, you go, what? Moses lifted up a snake? Why did Moses do that? In the desert, the children of Israel complained against God and Moses. And so God sent poisonous snakes to bite them and kill them. And so, naturally, what happened to the people? They repented and they confessed their sin. And Moses prayed to God when the people repented. And God did an unusual thing. You would say, well, hey, God sent snakes to make the people repent. They repented. You would think God would just take the snakes away, right? It's not what God did. What God did is he said, okay, make this bronze snake and put it on a pole. And every time you look at the pole, when you're bitten by a snake, you'll be healed. All you got to do, look at the snake. You're going along, and there's a snake hiding, and got you, and you go, oh no, I'm going to die. Look at the snake, and you're healed. Why did God do that? Why? Because he's pointing to Jesus. Notice what Jesus said. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man? Jesus, must be lifted up that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He's saying, God was teaching them during Moses' time, you're going to look at somebody that's lifted up. Jesus was lifted up where? On a cross. Lifted up, that's going to give eternal life. Look to him and be healed. Jesus was lifted up to the cross and died for our sins. But the words of Jesus still have a future sense in this. When we lift up Jesus in our conversations and in our lives, what happens? People believe. And so, we look to God and he gives us a new life, right? But there's another leap. The leap is from looking to lifting. We look to Jesus for forgiveness, for eternal life. We look to him to find joy, to find hope in life. And that's good. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But the next step is the leap to lift up Jesus to others, to lift up Jesus for others. It's not about you. If the only reason God saved you is just so you could go to heaven, as soon as you prayed that prayer, he would strike you dead. Right? How many of you are still alive? Then he has a purpose for you. God wants to do something through you, for other peoples. As you lift up Jesus, we go from looking at Jesus to find new life, to lifting him up so that other people find new life. We do it so others can live. We do it so others can live. That's why we do picnic in the park. That's why we're developing relationships with people outside of this building. The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. We're not here for us. We're here for everybody in our community. That's why we're here. Jesus said to his disciples as he sent them out in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely. Freely you have received, freely. Yes. Freely give. Freely give. You've received, now give. And lift up others. And tell someone about Jesus. Just do it one time. One time. That's all you have to do. One time. And then do it again. And then do it again and again. But all you got to do is one time. And just do it again and tell people about Jesus. What would our community look like if we take that leap of faith from thinking physically to spiritually, from being born to being born again, and from looking to Jesus for what we need to lifting up Jesus for the needs of other people around us? How would that change our community? Would you stand with me? As we pray this morning, I wonder if there's anyone here who would want to say, you know, that when you talked about being born again, that's what I need this morning. I need to be born again. I need a new life. Then simply tell God that. Tell God, I repent. I change directions. I do an about face in my life. Tell him, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I confess that I've made mistakes. And now I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me just now, on the connection card that you have, just put your name on it and circle the letter B at the bottom. And just say, today I believed. Today, I'm born again. And I'll pray for you. Father, help us. Help us, those of us who know you, help us to lift up Jesus. Help us to talk about Jesus with people. Help us to find people to study your word with and connect with people and live like Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us in such an extravagant way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.